Hey, your lead pastor's on holidays. You got me today. Little tidbit for you. They've gone. Him and Elaine, they've gone to an off-the-grid cabin. So even if you wanted to, you couldn't get a hold of them, okay? So, but you can be praying for them, and they have a good, restful, rejuvenating time during their holiday time. And this morning, we're going to keep going in the Proverbs series. It's so good. I introduced Proverbs a number of weeks ago. And Proverbs 30 kind of like sat with me a little bit, so I'm going to share from Proverbs 30 what God's kind of been speaking to me. And it's this guy by the name of Agur, maybe Agur, I don't know. Sometimes pastors, you're like, how do you say this name? Like, you don't know, right? In the Old Testament, all these names. But this guy wrote Proverbs 30, and his name is Agur. And we're going to hear from very Lord of the Ring-ish type of name, eh? But he has like some incredible wisdom and thoughts for us this morning that I think are really helpful. And I want to talk a little bit about the difference between, and I think he gets at it, between kind of like wanting God and needing God, all right? Wanting God and needing God, those two statements sound similar, but they reveal two very different postures of the heart. And postures that I want to remind us this morning individually and as a church, and kind of like what it means for us spiritually, and the difference between just wanting God on occasion and like needing Him in your kind of day-to-day spiritual lives. So before we get going, Agur, our friend here, it's important to know a little bit about him. We actually don't know a lot about him and why his words matter. Like, he wasn't a king, wasn't a prophet, he wasn't like a well-known leader. This is his chapter, like this is his only introduction or information we know is Proverbs 30. Like, he is the one-hit wonder, like this is his stuff, like that song that you kind of like, that one-hit wonder, what happened to the band after, I don't know. Like the one-hit wonder song that I always think about, always, the 2010 Olympics, right? The song, I believe in the power of man. What happened after? I don't know. I think it was Nikki or something. Nikki so-and-so. But Agur was, like, this is his chapter. Chapter 30. And he describes himself as kind of, he's come face-to-face with his own limitations. Like, he knows who he is and he knows his need for God. And so Agur's wisdom for him, we're going to talk about it, begins with humility. And he recognizes that God is greater than his mind can comprehend. He recognizes that human strength is really limited. And he recognizes his dependence on the Creator, God. He gets there in Proverbs 30. And so, like, in our culture, right, like, we celebrate self-sufficiency and independence. And Agur here, and God offers us a different vision for what wisdom is. And he goes, hey, like, the wise person is the one who knows they need God. So I encourage you, as we kind of go through this, pray to yourselves quietly as you hear from God, like, what would it look like for you today in your lives going forward to need God, not just on occasion. And again, Agur, and we'll read it, he approaches God and he goes, man, I need you on the day-to-day. And so there's a difference between saying, God, I want you to help me with my life, and saying, God, I can't live without you. Like, I need you. And so now, like, I acknowledge, like, in this room, we have all different types of stories and situations. We carry different things. And some of us are feeling really confident, really secure, and we live pretty good lives, hashtag blessed, right? I don't know. Some of you are probably a little bit exhausted. Young parents, you are perpetually exhausted in that state. God sees you and knows you. Some of you come in here and you do not believe what is being taught here, right? You're skeptical a bit. I love that you're here. You are welcome here. Some of your stories, you've had the church experience. You might have been hurt before, maybe by other humans within the church. You are welcome here. All of our stories are seriously all over the place. But there's a God, and the message this morning is very specific, is to recognize our need for God, wherever your story brings you into this moment. So let's look at the text. I love the text. The scripture, Proverbs 30, 1-3 goes like this, and the first point is just this. Wisdom begins when I recognize I don't know everything. I don't know everything. The sayings of Agar, son of Jakah, an inspired utterance. This man's utterance to Ethiel. I am wary, God, but I can prevail. Surely I am only a brute, not a man. I do not have human understanding. I have not learned wisdom, nor have I attained to the knowledge of the Holy One. So Agar begins. The section is like such a good confession, like such a good admission. And he just goes, hey, like I, he says, I'm only a brute, not a man. Other translations, you know what it says? My kids aren't here, so we're allowed to say the S word, I think. It's in the Bible. Other translations go, I'm more stupid than any other man. That's what it says. That is what Agar says. So like normally you would probably want to choose someone for wisdom who's a bit more accomplished, a bit more confident, right? New York Times bestsellers, his podcast is just blowing up. But Agar's humility here is exactly what kind of sets the foundation and makes him wise. Agar understands something our culture often struggles to understand. And humility is that. This is the beginning of wisdom. I think one of the challenges for our spiritual health currently is that we've become really good at collecting information and facts and not very good at pursuing what it means to be wise biblically. It's like we know how to defend our opinions, look up some facts, back our argument, our opinion. We're good at gaining knowledge and consuming all sorts of crazy content, but we don't always know how to love and listen and pursue this wisdom with humility. And Agar begins and he recognizes that God is greater than his understanding. He understands that God can't just be reduced to something that can be explained and quickly kind of controlled. Quick AI aside, Chris Buxton, as he referenced ChatGPT. I think you'll notice with like Agar and throughout the story of Scripture, that God doesn't always give us the answer right away, right? AI can be used, and it's a great tool for many things. Scary and concerning, of course, in many ways, but it gives us answers of some sort right away. It answers right away. It produces things right away. No waiting required. Insane, really. I believe following Jesus requires a humility in understanding God is God and we are not. It requires us acknowledging God may not answer right away. Or work on our, as we've been so conditioned, our right away timing. And all that to say, like, I would be cautious in recognizing that whatever tech or cultural influence we consume, let's not forget to wait on the Lord and to trust his timing and sovereignty. It's part of the journey. It's part of the journey and God helping to shape us as he wishes. It's okay, as Agar says, to not know everything right away or have all of the answers. We have a God who does, is in control of all the uncontrollables and is trustworthy. So there's value. I think there's value in like the wonder and just like the mystery of God as a follower of Jesus. The problem is, right? Like our problem is, and our human tendency is to live as if we've figured everything out ourselves. We want to figure everything out ourselves on our own timing. And this kind of goes back all the way back to Genesis 3, where humanity's first temptation, right, is the desire to live independently, to know everything right away without waiting. And the serpent's message was essentially, you don't need God's wisdom. You can decide for yourself what's right and wrong. And that temptation is still alive today. A little self-examination question for you. Where have you become convinced that already you have all of the answers in your spiritual life? Or where have you been convinced that you can decide things for yourselves? Maybe it's an area of marriage, parenting, finances, career, your spiritual walk. Is there an area that you've kind of closed your eyes off to, or maybe pride like Adam and Eve has said, I want to know right away. And it's blocked out what God has for you or what God is trying to say to you. Maybe it's impatience. You just want to know it right away. And God's just saying, wait a little bit. Now imagine you're driving. This is my Santa Fe. The check engine light came on. Okay, it always comes on and off. And I'm not really going to practice what I preach here. But here is an illustration for you, okay? Imagine you're driving, your check engine light comes on, okay? You have two choices, You pull over, take it, investigate the problem, you know, get help, take it to the mechanic, or you can ignore it and put a piece of tape over it or something and just keep driving as if nothing's wrong until, right? Until ignoring the problem of the engine light doesn't fix the problem. I know some of you mechanics are like, well, it's just electrical, it's fine. Just bear with me for this illustration, okay? But if you ignore it long enough, like, it simply delays the consequences. The issue will probably get worse, all right? So I think, like, spiritually, here's the little illustration, like, pride works the same way. Like, God uses His Word, His Spirit, other people to kind of shine light on issues in our lives that need attention. Like humility, like Agar says, like, humility goes, yeah, God, I need you. I need your help in this area. I'm going to address this thing. Pride goes, no, it's not that big a deal. I'll be fine. Let's just keep moving forward, right? Like, So the issue isn't whether God is speaking. The issue a lot of the time is whether, like, we're willing to listen to God, because He is there communicating. I think what Agar does really well is he kind of lets you remove your pride and ego as a follower of Jesus. And just goes, like, it's okay and it's healthy, like, not to know. Hard, of course, but it's okay. You can give it to God. And I think if you're a bit, like, skeptical of Christianity or, like, searching, young people, this is for you as well. Like, hear this. Like, God is not afraid of your questions and doubts. No way. And, like, faith is not pretending that we have everything figured out. Faith, again, begins with humility. It begins with humility, recognizing that our understanding is really limited and God is bigger and greater than us. I actually think it's really reasonable. Like, Christianity presents itself as really, like, reasonable to believe in a God, like, logically, intellectually. Like, I don't think it's that much of a leap to, like, believe in God when you do your homework. At the same time, there is just this piece as a follower of Jesus to start with humility and knowing that you don't know everything. And so what do you do with that? Proverbs 35 says this: every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. And so here's an answer Agar gives us. He's like, here's the practice for you as a follower of Jesus, is to take refuge in God. When you don't know the stuff, you've got the questions, and this is where you'll find your peace and your forgiveness. This life of God, the grace is in Jesus Christ, this God we believe in. So, point one, wisdom begins from moving from saying, like, I've got to figure out everything. I need to have all my ducks in a row, and just saying, like, I need God. I recognize that I don't know everything. And that's okay. Second point, wisdom understands I do not need everything. So our friend Agar goes, okay, I don't know everything, and now I don't need everything. Here's Proverbs 30:7-9. It says this: two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much, and I disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God. So this is a crazy prayer, because Agar doesn't ask for, like, riches and wealth. He just asks God to help him become more dependent on Him. What a prayer. Like, he recognizes, like, the dangers of both, right? Like, poverty and riches. They carry spiritual dangers. Like, poverty, like, not having what we think we need can tempt us to doubt God's provision. But riches can tempt us to kind of forget about God's provision. Like, both ends of things. I know for myself, I recognize this in myself for sure, right? You might become envious of someone. You're like, they're so lucky that they get to. Oh, they have that. They have the money they should be able to, right? Like, an envy creeps in really easily with money issues pretty quick. Or the other way, right? Like, where the temptation is being prideful and you think you've earned rather than being thankful to God that He's blessed you and provided you a skill set and a situation to have whatever wealth that is. And so I'm not trying to diminish kind of like the reality of finances and the strain many of us experience, but I was kind of wondering, like this past week, like if God answered every one of our financial prayers the way we wanted to, would we become less or more dependent on Him? I don't know. So I know I wrestle with this issue, and it's such a good piece of wisdom for us today. And so the issue isn't whether we have possessions or wealth. Awesome! Like, God is the giver of good gifts to enjoy. The issue is whether these possessions have our heart and become our ultimate, or like idols, as the Bible says. Right? Like, our culture constantly tells us more, we need more money, and we need more comfort, more success, more recognition, more experiences to scratch this itch, then we'll get satisfied. But the problem with more, or the addiction of more, is that it never tells us when enough is enough. Like, the finish line just keeps on moving. Okay, when my kids were toddlers, we did birthday presents at Christmas, and what happens, you guys have probably seen this, you give them a present, and here's the illustration. Like, they get the present, they open it right away, and they move on to the next one without, like, right away. What's next? What's next? I want another present. I want another one. I want it. They don't even know what the present is, but they just want another one. And all of a sudden, all the presents are opened, and, you know, and they're still asking, what's next? Where's the next present? And we smile, right? You know, all the adults all around, so they smile, we joke, because we recognize the issue in kids, right? But if we're honest as adults, we do the same thing. But like, our toys are just a bit more expensive. Our more, or our presence, just take on different shapes. And we keep believing that one more thing, that one more present or whatever will finally satisfy us. And again, the problem is not enjoying good things and gifts. The problem is when we ask these good things to become our ultimate thing. So we kind of ask money to be like our primary source of security. Like, that is the God. Money becomes God. Or we ask like success to become our identity. And like, success becomes the God, right? Like, that's the difference here. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says this, Jesus Christ: "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, that for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." So here is where richness is found. It's found in Jesus Christ. He gave up everything. He gave it all up so we could receive these riches of forgiveness, love, acceptance, belonging in God. Like, this is the gift that doesn't run out, that will satisfy you. Third point, okay? Wisdom. Our good buddy Agar recognizes nothing else can fully satisfy my heart. Proverbs 30:15-16 says this, and we get to talk about slimy creatures now. Yes! Okay! The leech has two daughters. Proverbs has so many weird verses, you're like, what is going on? But this is good, okay? The leech has two daughters. "Give, give," they cry. "There are three things that are never satisfied, four that never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, land, which is never satisfied with water, and fire, which never says enough." Ray and Denver, the other day, they came with their neighborhood friends, and they are slimy creatures. They were racing snails up their shirts, okay? Not leeches, but they had snails, and I was like, oh, leeches. I remember as a kid, and these leeches scarred me. Like, Kevin Ackman, do you guys know, like, Northern Alberta, we went there as a family, and the lakes there have leeches in them. And I remember as a kid, like, you'd come out and you'd have to pull the leeches off you because they were sucking your blood. Anyone else have, like, Saskatchewan lake leech experiences? Oh, I'm terrible. It kind of scarred me from, like, lake swimming until we moved to the Okanagan and everything was lovely. That's my leech experience for you, okay? In the ancient world, a leech, again, it was known for attaching itself to a host and just continually drawing blood, never satisfied with what it had. And so by giving these two daughters, they're crying out, "Give, give," Air gives imagery to an appetite that's just never content. It's never content. It's always demanding more. And he lists examples from the grave, barren womb, parched land, fire, and these are all examples that kind of say enough. They never say enough because They all have the characteristic of being insatiable. And the fire illustration is pretty like in our face right now, right? We get how fires, like if you give it more wood, it's not gonna say like I've had enough, like I'm done, like I've had enough fuel. It just keeps burning hotter and hotter and hotter. And so Hagar's point here is pretty simple. Like apart from God, the human heart can become like a leech. And it's always craving, always consuming, always believing that that one more possession, one more achievement, one more relationship, one more experience will fully satisfy, will finally satisfy that itch. Godly wisdom recognizes that no created thing, experience, or person can fully satisfy you apart from the Creator, relationship with the Creator. So this morning, hear this. Hear God saying that you can be fully satisfied in Him. So like those heartaches that you have, those yearnings that you've been trying to fill, we all try and fill them different ways. They can only be satisfied spiritually in God. So whether we acknowledge here, we're all in different spots, whether you acknowledge the theology of sin and brokenness or not, something we know just seems off with like the human experience. And humans throughout time have tried to fix and fill this void, this missing piece. And we're always trying to find something that will fill and make us feel whole again, maybe even like heal some of our wounds. Jesus comes, and this is the gospel that we know. He comes and fills and satisfies these longings. So for you, question, between you and God, like what pulls you or even lies to you, sort of about providing satisfaction outside of God the Creator? So what are some of those leeches that are just kind of sucking the life out of you right now that are not so good for you? Is it working? I just wrote down, is it working? And I think like sometimes, a lot of the times vices, temptations, they do provide momentary comfort and distraction, of course. That's why we always go to them. But ultimately, like, they leave you wanting and missing out on this full life that God has designed you for. St. Augustine said, "You made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." If you feel restless, listen to Jesus' words in John 4. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So Jesus doesn't deny our thirst or ignore it. Like he doesn't just say like stuff it away like with your willpower, just like he comes to fulfill those yearnings. He knows humans have been created with these needs. Would you, Crossroads, would you consider the prayer and maybe like a slight change of alignment from kind of just like wanting God on occasion to just needing God to fully satisfy you in this risen, living, forgiving, life-giving person of Jesus Christ? Would you consider this morning following Jesus and coming to Him for satisfaction? Maybe first time, maybe 100th time. He wants to satisfy those longings of your heart and soul. I promise you that. He is the answer you are looking for, you're searching for. So just to close, Hagar, just a beauty. He's just a beauty. I love Hagar. He says some other weird things that we won't get into today. But the main point today is just like, man, do you recognize your need for God? And when you do, I think you're going to put yourself in a really good place spiritually, and God's going to work and satisfy your soul. I would love for that just to be like the posture of our church. Like we need God instead of I want God. Okay, like let's need God together. Let's pray. Jesus, your word is sometimes it's confusing and hard to read, but we know it always gives life and it's a place of refuge for us, and we can bring our questions and our doubts and concerns to you. You are open. You already know what we think and what we struggle with, and Jesus, we lay them before your feet because we know that you care about us. You care about our well-being. You want to satisfy us fully. There's always these things that pull at us, these sort of, I guess you can call them leeches that we wrestle with. Jesus, would you just help us to hit them away, swipe them away, ignore them, and turn to you as often as we can. We love you. In your name, amen.